Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Our ministry, For His Glory, is to help you see the Bible through Hebrew eyes and understand the deeper things of God. Today we're teaching on a topic that we all need to know very well. Do not fear. All right? Do not fear. Is fear something people have to face often in the world, Danielle?
It's very common that people suffer from fear.
Yes, but they need to fear not. So let's approach and see one of the many approaches that are used in the Bible in Exodus 14:13. Quoting, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, et Yeshuat Yahweh, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will not again see them any more, to forever.'" Unquote. Now that is very powerful. The first command to the people is what? Do not
fear.
Do not fear. Because fear will freeze people. They become ineffective. They are immobile. Inside, everything is running at top speed, full force. Outside, they're frozen, including their mind, from taking an action. So they're discombobulated, there's confusion, they're running in almost every direction, but going nowhere. So the first command is to settle your spirit instantly, and it's a decision from which the emotions will follow. We are commanded to do what? And Moses said to the people, do not
fear.
Stand still. And then what are you going to be able to do? And see the salvation of the Lord. Now, something we need to be sensitive to as we look at the whole Bible is the term salvation in Hebrew is the same term Yeshua. Now, Yeshua is Hebrew for what name?
Jesus.
Exactly. Yeshua is Hebrew. Danielle got it perfect for Jesus. That is his name. Yeshua. Now, that understanding is that salvation, deliverance, which are synonymous terms, is what you should be seeing when you see and hear the name Jesus. Salvation. Jesus will save you. He will deliver you. All right? Yeshua will Yoshia you. The Lord, salvation is of the Lord. All right? So here we see what? Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand still, step two. Step three, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. So here it is, today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will not again see them anymore to forever. So God is shifting our attention from who? The Egyptians to God himself. All right? Now, the people are in the wilderness, all right? If you look carefully at Exodus 14, I want you to look at the whole chapter carefully. Just recognize back at verse 3, for Pharaoh is going to say of the people of Israel, they're entangled in a land. The wilderness has enclosed them in. All right? It looks like the Jews are trapped, and it looks like the world has them and nailed into some place they cannot escape from. Verse 4, God will be honored. It says that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, as we come up toward our key text, we're going toward verse 10. The people of Israel looked behind them. They saw the Egyptians were marching after them. Now, as we understood on an earlier series, all right, that behind means what, Danielle? Behind also means
in the future.
Exactly, in the future. Good. So while we see the Egyptians are pursuing them from behind, we also understand that that's teaching us what? That they are marching after them, attempting to come into their
present.
Into their present, but really they're coming from the future, right?
Yes.
They're in the future. They're trying to come into the future, but God has plans for you. I want you to examine Jeremiah 29:11-13, because we have to understand this more deeply. Yes, Danielle.
So the Egyptians were trying to take from them their future?
Exactly. That's a very good way of putting it. They were trying to steal and go into a place where they were not permitted or allowed to go. All right? Now, what God says, though, in Jeremiah, we'll do verse 11, 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans," better translated in Hebrew, "for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, declares the Lord, thoughts for peace and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And it better translates, for I knew the thoughts that I have for you, declares the Lord, thoughts for peace. Say peace.
Peace.
For peace and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So God's going to give them the future. The Egyptians, the world, is trying to come in and take the future and be in the future and rob them of their future. They've already been robbed of their past. They're escaping them in the present. And the past is trying to catch up with them and jump into their future, be in their future, which is horrible.
Wow.
They are relentless. They're relentless. So that's the scene we have to remember, is where we are in the world and whatever the Egyptians may also represent to us. That which enslaved us, whether it's a habit or smoking or drugs or drinking or a wrong relationship or a situation, no matter what it is, that situation has enslaved us by our allowing it to be. That was our choice, not God's. God says, I have thoughts. This is what I knew. I knew the plans that I have for you. I knew the thoughts that I have for you, declares the Lord. Thoughts for your peace, not for calamity. If they're calamity, they're because of us, not the Lord. God says, my thoughts for you are for peace, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You can hope on the future. It is good because it's of God. What we often do is take our past, relive it in the present, project it into the future, relive the same thing, marry the same person over again, have the same problems, attract the same things, and like attracts like, and we're going to attract, sometimes when we have a dislike, that'll attract other dislikes, and we end up in this whirlwind of problems that are virtually unescapable unless we break the pattern by moving into it with the Lord. And the first thing Moses tells these people is, do not fear. Stand still. Stop moving. Stop being afraid. Stop doing the same things you have been doing. Now you're in a position to see the salvation of the Lord. Yes.
Well, now we see that the Hebrew language is so important to understanding the Bible.
Critical.
Every letter means something.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to explain to us what exactly fear means.
That's a good point. The word fear is yirah, like say a calendar year, and then a little glottal stop, a little, like a little apostrophe, then ah, yirah, yirah.
Yirah.
Yirah. Now, if we look at it in a much deeper level, beyond the concordance and the dictionaries, at letter by letter, the root of that word is ra, R-A, which means to see, resh aleph in Hebrew, the letters. The first letter is yod, which means hand. So we're looking at a picture language, if you will, that's expressing great truth embodied in letters. And all the letters form a word. And the word is going to be like the movie, and we're looking at it scene by scene. All right? So yirah, yod, resh aleph, hey. Yod is hand, ra means to see. The hey at the end means what comes from. Let's put that picture together into a sentence. Fear means what comes from the hand that you see. Now, what is a hand? A hand is what you do work with, activities, deeds, so it's performance. So it means what comes from the hand or the work that you see or the deed that you see. All right? So if I fear something, then that hand, that work is what I'm focused on. All right? If I'm focused and worried about the boss, all right, because they may fire me instead of recognizing that God gave me the job, then I'm fearing the boss. I'm watching their hand and what they are doing. Yes.
In other words, when God says, fear me,
right,
he means, look at me, see me.
See my hand, see what I'm doing, see my work, see my activity, see my deeds. Exactly.
And don't look anywhere else.
Fear not, which means don't look anywhere else. Don't look at their work, their deeds, their activity, because your eyes are then off God and onto something else other than God, which is making it totally wrong-centered when Jesus said, follow me. You're to keep your eyes on him.
So understanding the Hebrew meaning for fear is totally different than what we know as fear.
That's been my experience, and it's not because of unsincere people or insincere people. It's because of a lack of knowing our Hebrew roots, our Hebrew language, the culture, the customs, the heritage, and the language, which gives us such greater breadth and length and height and depth, that gives us where we are the truth in the original language and the truth thereof. Exactly. Because when we grew up, including me, until I knew this, what I, you know, fear is fear and trepidation of the Lord. But there's other words that will suit that in Hebrew. There's another word, but that's not this word. Yes.
I find it easier now to love God.
Exactly.
Good. Fearing him this way than to fear him with dread.
Exactly, which is what he always meant.
He just meant to keep my eye on him, fear
him. On
what
he's doing. Watch
Praise
what he's
God.
Doing. Yes, and when you watch what he's doing in Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10 and Job 28:28 and Psalm 111 verse 10, there's some references to the word fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are told if that's the beginning, how can we go beyond the beginning if we don't even know how to rightly fear God? How do we grow in knowledge, the knowledge of God, in the wisdom of God? We can't. So when it says, do not fear, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do not fear. Take your eyes off those Egyptians. Stop watching everything else. Stop, stop, stop. Do not watch what they're doing. Stand still and see. Now let me tell you where to look. The salvation, Yeshua, of the Lord. Period. The salvation of the Lord. Very, very good, Daniel. That's very important for us all. Now, we see that the slaves, what happened to the people? Let's look at what's happening to them. The people were afraid. They would rather be bound in slavery than liberated into their future. Why? Slaves see chains. Free people see choices. Slaves see impassable walls, like this sea in front of them, hemmed in on every side and Egyptians behind them, if you will, in the future. So slaves see impassable walls, but free people see beyond the walls and through the walls. Slaves fall to pieces when pressed, but free people take the pieces and make something whole and holy and make peace out of the pieces. A slave lives under a fallen man's world and will, but a free man lives through God's will. A slave also sees no future, but only more of the past, because they're focused on the past, with only death freeing them. But a free man has died to death and lives in the future, manifested in the present, and has a new past every day. When today's future lived in its manifestation today has become a yesterday, tomorrow. So how blessed it is to be free in Christ. John 8:36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed. Indeed. Now, back to Exodus in chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. God moved you there to move you out of your past. Out of your old environment, out of Egypt, out of your old ways, out of your old habits, out of your old patterns, out of that which you were enslaved to, out of the kingdom of the world to which you were slaves to, and out from under those taskmasters that you were enslaved to. God moves you out of slave labor, out of slave food, out of slave talk, out of slave walk, out of slave beds, and out of slave clothes. It's a total change. God's moving you not only out of Egypt, but where he can get Egypt out of you. All right? So he's looking to get slavery out of your head. Because many of us believers, although we have ultimate security and the eternal life found only through the Lord Jesus Christ, are still walking around like slaves in many of our choices and our actions to the world and in the world, although we're not of the world, and that's totally, totally wrong. So God moves you out of your living past, which is past living, to a place where you've been destined to be in order to prepare you, say prepare you.
Prepare you.
Prepare you to step into your future. Good. But you must be willing to be led out of your past. When God sends the deliverer, a Moses or someone or something into your life, you must recognize when it's of God, all right? And when it is of God, move, move, move out of where you are and step into your future. So God can enter your world through his Redeemer, through his prophets, through his word, the Bible, through the angel of the Lord, through a Moses type. He will draw you out of the present of your past. So your future can be presented before you in a new present that prepares you to step into the future today. Living people in the present or the past inclines one to make their past their future. Since they take no new actions, we take no new steps, then there's no new growth for us in and to and unto and for God. For your past becomes your future. And when tomorrow becomes another today, then today will become a repeat of yesterday. And the world will be one day darker, one day longer, one long dark day. For these people, the future never comes. They only relive their past. They never, never move into the future today. God says in Hebrews 4:7, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. We must not harden our heart. When God says, don't harden your heart, be sensitive to his voice, to his message, and change in response to that. Yes, Danielle.
What does this mean, to harden your heart?
The heart is a place of the seat of the soul, of the mind in the biblical world. So if we harden our mind, then we steal our mind and we imprison it back with our own thought patterns and ways to a message that God is giving us. And I'll give you a classic example that I learned from a Dr. Hanby on TBN once, where we have the example of Abraham and Isaac, right, going up the mountain together in Genesis 22. Now we see they go up in agreement together, and Abraham is going in response as a great man of faith, willingly, to God saying, take your son, your only son, your beloved son, and go make an olah, a burnt offering of him, all right, on the mountain I'll show you in the land of Moriah. So he takes his son, his only son, his beloved son, to sacrifice him, all right? Now, scene one. Scene two, here's Abraham on the mountain, the altar, and I enjoin you all to please, I strongly suggest, read through Genesis 22 carefully with the Holy Spirit. Abraham has the knife. He's going to bring it down to slay his son in obedience to the command. The angel of the Lord, heavens open, and the angel shouts out, Abram, Abram, and he tells him not to do this, and not in the Bible, but what sometimes we do is we say, well, God already spoke to me, and we slay the person, all right? What we have to do is say, the Lord just spoke to me again. Now, this is a little different than hardening of the heart, although it is a part of that, because the voice of the Lord has spoken. We have to be fluid with God. We have to be sensitive to the changes. We have to be aware of his message, all right? Often, we only hear what we want to hear. And we may pray and continue to do something until we get the answer the way we want. It's not unlike the person who says, Lord, if you don't want me to go into that ice cream parlor, then don't give me a parking space in the front. And they drive around, and finally they pull into a spot, and they say, well, God must have wanted me to be here. I only had to go around 67 times. See, that's playing games. That's just not the way to do this here. So we play all types of self-deceit, and we really know better. We're fooling ourselves and make ourselves a type of a fool, and we dishonor God by not being obedient when he has our best for us, all right? Just listen to his voice. Don't harden your heart. Stay open in your mind and soul to God, and let God direct, for he alone is God. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. That's a great promise of God. Whatever that problem is, there's a promise that handles the whole thing. Okay? So whatever the Egyptians may have been in your life, whether it's a sickness or an illness, disease or financial disaster or a marital problem or relational or with children, you do not fear. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For whatever that problem is, God says, you do it my way, you will never see it again. If we see it again, then we keep having our eyes on God. We're not trusting God. We're not believing him enough. We have to inherit the promises with faith and patience. Take our eyes off the problem and stop feeding it and put our eyes on God. Because as you said earlier, Danielle, we're to fear the Lord. We're to watch his hand, to see what he is doing it all the time. And he didn't tell us to look anywhere else, but to look to him for all things.
Right.
All right? Now the sea is before them. All right? The promises are on the other side, what is God has promised to them, so you must cross over, all right? How do you cross over, all right? you have to go through the water.
Right.
All right? Avar, to cross over. You go through. Now, the water also represents, as we see in 1 Corinthians 10, we see that they were baptized in the water, which represents death. So they die to the things of the world and are born again, if you will. They come out of this baptism of death into the newness of life. All right? Now, the past is pursuing them. So all those things that you were enslaved to, right? All the things you were enslaved to are pursuing you, all the people who ruled over you, all those taskmasters who you had built their empires and their treasure cities and their kingdoms of the world, whereas God is taking you to a new land, to a new time, to a future where your enemies cannot follow you. Your enemies cannot follow you. That's God's plan, to give you a future and a hope. Peace and not calamity, a future and a hope. All right? We mentioned that earlier in Jeremiah 29:11. To a future where the enemies of the past can't exist. They can't exist there. A future in which the enemies that you've seen today, you will never see again. To a future in which you rule and you reign and you build the kingdom of God on earth as it is perfect in heaven, into a future where you plant and you harvest, a future in which every man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, a future of peace, prosperity, authority, rulership, priesthood, sonship, daughtership, in the King of Glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you and I must step into our future. Now, you don't know how you'll get there, but it's not the how, but it's who will get you through. That must be learned anew by you. You will walk where eagles fly. You will walk on ground no man has tread. You will go where flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit. 1 Corinthians 15:50. For this is hallowed ground. This is the place of the sons and the daughters of the Most High God, on which you will walk on. For you will cross over, you will walk over. This is where you die to fly high, or you stay behind and you live to die. For your past will catch up to you, and it will overwhelm your present if you stay there. And your future never arrives, it just passes you by as you live to die, and a past that is past and passing away. But people, we must step into our future. For this is where, through death, through the waters, that you pierce the darkness and the darkness of the sea at the Sea of Reeds. That's where we must make that decision to go through that there, die to it, to get to the other side and cross over. That's the place God wants to take us, to that place where that issue dies. It's all dead, it's over, and it is finished. Now, people, listen carefully and get this. We all must get this, for this is the place where the past ends. It ceases to exist. Those past issues cannot follow you into the future. They cannot enter your future. When they try, they'll be destroyed in the sea. That's God's plan. This is the end. Here the old past is destroyed. Your past will end here. Your tears will end here. Your fears will end here. The jeers will end here. The lost years will end here. And all the old will end here. The past will be put away here. For God has destined only that which is good, right, righteous, healthy, holy for your future today. So people, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.
This is a great way of seeing the story of Exodus.
Exactly.
Forget the past and go on for the future. Fear the Lord and go from glory to glory.
From glory to glory. Absolutely. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.